Right. Well, just looking at the data over the course of the past week, you know, the key reads came with inflation in the US over the course of the past week. And what they showed was that inflation is, whilst the actual CPI and producer price index for the month of July came in roughly as the market expected, it's starting to get sticky now, this process of getting inflation to go much lower. So in the case of the July CPI, it came in as the market expected at 0.2%. That meant that the annual inflation rate, rather than going down, actually lifted slightly from 3% to 3.2%. And core CPI, that was also 0.2%. That was as the market expected, but it meant that the drift down in core inflation was negligible. It came down to 4.7% year on year from 4.8%. And then it became a little bit more problematic than that with the producer price index right towards the end of the week, where the producer price index was expected to be 0.2% as well, both month on month for both the main index and also for the core, excluding food and energy, but came in both of them at 0.3%, so just a notch above. And as a result of that, the annual rate of change in the producer price index bounced from 0.1% year-on-year up to 0.8% year-on-year, and the core didn't come down as much as expected. It came down to 2.4% from 2.6%. Key point about all these is we're still a long way north of the Fed's 2% target, and it suggests that you're still on the boundary where the Fed, if it gets signs of too much strength running through the US economy, is still more likely to have another tightening or two ahead of it. Yeah, we're close to the top of the cycle, but still that could be some way off. And so that's starting to permeate markets again. You're starting to get some undulations running through markets as it starts to look towards that, and then starts to wonder whether if we do get some more interest rate hikes, does that mean that we were almost convinced that we were going to get a soft landing, because we're almost at the top. Maybe the soft landing could still turn to recession at some point in the future. So, it's purpose built almost for some volatility to run through both interest rate moves and the equity market as we look ahead. This week, we're not going to get an awful lot more colour from the US. There are a few indicators. We've got things like retail sales coming out on Tuesday. These, if anything, probably look pretty firm, up about 0.4% after being up 0.2% the month before. We've got the August National Association of Home Builders Index coming out the same night, and that was pretty firm at 56 going back to the month of July. Looks as if it's going to hold around that level. And we'll get some other housing indicators too, such as housing permits and housing starts. Both of those, after falling going back to the month of June, look as if they might have had a bit of a bounce in the month of July. And towards the end of the week, we'll get the Philadelphia Fed survey and also the FOMC minutes. Now, the FOMC minutes will give us that sort of ambiguity, I think, that close to the top, encouraged by the way in which things have improved on the inflation front, but still watching the data, and if that data suggests they need to tighten further, they will. So that's probably likely to be the tone that comes through those minutes later on. In terms of the labour market, the initial jobless claims for the most recent week, they did actually tighten up a little bit. It went up to 248,000 from 227,000. Sorry, not tightened up, but loosened up. So it suggests that the labour market may be softening a bit further, but we'll have to wait and see on that and see how that goes over the course of the next few weeks. As far as China's concerned, the data coming through there still points to pretty lacklustre economic recovery, and also with very, very weak price movements. So we had last week export data and import data for the month of July. Exports worsened more than expected. They went to minus 14.5% year-on-year from minus 12.4%. And imports, fairly substantial worsening there, to minus 12.4% from minus 6.8% the month before. Also with their prices, the July CPI came out. Whilst it lifted up 0.2%, that was enough to take the annual inflation rate to deflation. So it came in at minus 0.3% year on year after being up 0.2% year on year the month before. So China's actually slipped into deflation. And in most other economies, that's a clear sign that you've got room to, when you should, boost both fiscal policy and also monetary policy. In China, that process is still seems to be peculiarly slow. So it's mostly because they don't know where to actually pump to get some purchase running through the Chinese economy at the moment. We also had producer prices came out in China, and they're still below zero. It was minus 5.4% year on year. Going back to June, it was minus 4.4% year on year in the month of July. So the pipeline is still very deflationary as far as China's concerned. This week in China, we have on Tuesday most of the monthly indicators coming out, and we've got fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, and retail sales. No great improvement expected through any of these. So July fixed asset investment spending is expected to be about the same as it was the month before, at 3.8% year on year. Industrial production probably going to be around about 4.5% year on year, from 4.4% the month before. Then retail sales probably around 4.8% year on year. That would be a bit of a lift from a very weak 3.1% year on year going back the month before. The story with all those is that they're sitting well south of 5% year on year, remembering that the target for Chinese growth at the end of this year is 5%. We're not getting it on the domestic indicators, and we're certainly not getting it in terms of the international contribution, where exports are looking very, very soft indeed. So just that softness still running through China, which suggests that, if anything, we should expect some sort of policy response to come from them before long. In Australia, we had mostly the sentiment indicators and also ANZ job ads out last week. ANZ job ads, they showed a lift. It was better than the market expected too, to plus 0.4%. The market expected 0.1%. Admittedly, that was after a 2.7% fall, but they are at very elevated level, job ads. So notwithstanding some of the signs of softness running through economic activity here in Australia, we're still seeing the labour market holding very, very tight. Also, we had the July NAB Business Conditions and Business Confidence Survey. This survey is holding up very well. Businesses, notwithstanding that all of us can point to examples where businesses are under stress and are starting to, even in high streets around Australia, you can see where some have started to go down. But this survey is still very, very positive. And we had the business conditions part of it stayed at plus 10. In fact, the previous month was revised up from plus 9 to plus 10. It was plus 10 again for the month of July. Business confidence, which had been the softest part of it, because it's forward-looking, it's responding to some of the policy changes, was minus 4 back in June. That was revised to minus 1, and for July it came in at plus 2, so it's actually got a little bit better. We also had August Westpac consumer sentiment. Consumer sentiment's had 2 months in a row where we've had some gains. Admittedly, the index level itself is still pretty low. We had a small fall for the most recent month, so August minus 0.4%. That came after a 2.7% gain going back the month before. This week in Australia, at the end of last week too, we had Governor Phil Lowe, the outgoing governor, talking for the last time to a parliamentary committee. And he said some interesting things. That one point he made was that inflation's on a credible path to coming down to 2-3% target by late 2025. He chose his words very carefully, because credible means that you can sort of believe their forecasts. It wasn't a confident forecast. So, that was one interesting part of that testimony that he gave. He gave an indication too, which is an obvious one, that the worst of the monetary policy tightening is over. Well, you'd hope it has been, because we had 400 basis points of interest rate hikes over the last year or so. So you would hope that the worst of it was over. Just again reiterating some of his concerns about productivity, how that providing productivity goes up to where it was before the pandemic, then we can tolerate the wage changes which are running through. So it was a pretty mixed bag, I think, and still lays open that possibility that even though you've got signs that household spending is coming off because of the pressure from higher interest rates, that they still may have to hike rates further here at some point. We'll get more colour on that a bit with the RBA minutes. They come out on Tuesday, and it'll be interesting to see what they say there. Obviously, it was the second monthly pause for interest rates at 4.1%, and to see what some of the arguments were for and against another interest rate hike in those minutes on Tuesday. But we also get some pretty important data later in the week, which will give more colour to what happens next. We've got the second quarter wage price index coming out on Wednesday, and we've got labour force data coming out on Thursday. Now, the wage price index, market consensus is a 1% increase, which would lift the annual rate of change to 3.8% from 3.7% the month before. If it is around 1%, we're on a trajectory in the second half of this year to go to 4% or above. So we can't have anything higher than 1%. If it was higher than 1%, that would suggest that wages are getting too much momentum looking ahead over the course of this next year. And on Thursday, we get the labour force data, which is looking at the tightness in the labour market. Now, remembering that over the previous 2 months, employment's lifted by 110,000 in May and June, still phenomenally strong. So the market expects that employment to be around about the 20,000 mark for the month of July, and that the participation rate will hold around about 66.8%. That would either leave the unemployment rate at 3.5, maybe lift it a little bit to 3.6. It's very, very important that it doesn't go any lower than 3.5%, because otherwise we're into new 50-year low territory for the unemployment rate. So the relative strength of the labour market from both these indicators this week will be very, very important in helping to determine what the RBA does next. And at this stage, it could go either way. It's a little hard to determine exactly where those figures will fall. Then moving to Europe, we only had one indicator last week, and it was really the August Centix Investor Confidence Survey. That one improved a bit, and more than the market expected. Still got a minus sign on the front of it, but it went from minus 22.5 to minus 8.9. Now, the market was looking for minus 23.4, so that's quite a bit better than the market was looking for. So, part of the reason why Europe's improved is that it appears to have dodged a recession. Some of their data was suggesting that they'd already gone into recession, a mild recession, going back to the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year. That's been revised out. So they're just holding above the recession line of two negative GDP quarters. And on Wednesday this week, we'll get revised Q2 GDP coming out of Europe. And what it's expected to show is a repeat of the early reading, and that is an improvement of 0.3% quarter on quarter. That means that the annual growth rate in GDP is soft, but it's 0.6% year on year. So, Europe, a bit like the US, we're looking at these soft landings around the world. In fact, one area where a soft landing is more problematic is probably here in Australia, because we're much more sensitive to interest rate change in many ways than some of these other economies. And then another key reading later in the week in Europe is the July CPI. It's hope that that will come down. It's got a bit sticky over the last couple of months at 5.5%. It's hope that that will come down to about 5.3%, still way too high and still indicating there's more policy tightening ahead, but hoping that that one will come back. So this week, not a lot to give the market some guidance, but just these doubts about whether the central banks have finished their tightening campaigns. I've given the mention to the RBNZ this week. Over in New Zealand, the RBNZ has their meeting on Wednesday. Now, they're probably going to be on hold because they've already got their cash rate up 5.5%. So that's very, very high. And so I'd be genuinely surprised if they do another 25 basis points there, because they've already got some very, very tractionary rate setting there at 5.5%. So that's basically the story for this, just watching how the markets just bounce around a bit with not a lot to guide them from some of these economic indicators this week. Key ones, though, to watch are definitely the Australian ones, and it's the wage price index and the labour force data later this week.